Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you. And actually, I wanted to tell you that today is the day that our returning guest, Susan Moss, made it into the studio today. And she is a wealth of information. She is a bright light and researcher in the health field, having to do mostly with nutrition and cancer. She's traveled abroad to lecture on her previous books, Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer. She's written a novel, The Accident Stager, and it is possibly going to be turned into a movie, which is very exciting. And she has many, many reviews for her best-selling book on cancer. And she is a survivor of cancer. And she is going to talk to us not only about nutrition and tips on cancer, self-help, but also share some of her story with us after her doctor told her she wasn't going to make it and there wasn't much he could do for her. She decided that she would take action and become proactive, and she would do her own research and come to her own conclusions. And here she is many, many years later, being a best-selling author, a renowned painter whose art is displayed in museums, as well as a public speaker on cancer. And we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And let's just go ahead and let's get started, because her story is real and true. And we have a serious problem in America and the world with cancer. In fact, I just wanted to mention that in 2023, an estimated 609,820 people will die of cancer in the United States alone. Lung and bronchus cancer is responsible for the most deaths, with 127,070 people expected to die from this disease. That is nearly three times the 52,550 deaths due to colorectal cancer, which is the second most common cause of cancer death. That's why it's important to get a physical every year. So what is the survival rate of breast cancer after a mastectomy? Well, according to the medical articles online, around 85 out of every 100 women, around 85% will survive their cancer for 5 years or more after diagnosis, and around 75% out of every 100 women will survive their cancer for 10 years or more after diagnosis. So how many people die of cancer each year globally? So I'm talking worldwide if you're listening online or you're listening on the phone. There's about 10 million people who die from cancer every year, and it is the cause of every sixth death. It is one of the largest health problems in the entire world. So on that note, with that little bit of information, let's get started and let's welcome Susan Moss into the world of authors and experts. Hi, Susan. How are you doing today?
Hi, Rose. Yeah, that's kind of a bleak opening. I also wrote the book COVID-19, The Natural Approach, and only had COVID 2 days. But I wanted to remind readers that book is available on Amazon. As far as my other books, Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer, they're both still selling very well, and I'm helping women around the world. The books are in several languages, and I was in Glasgow, Scotland, for the BBC on Survive Cancer.
Well, that's fantastic. You also speak at the the cancer, what is it, the cancer?
Control.
Control.
The Cancer Control Convention, yeah.
Right.
Lorraine had that for about 40 years. I don't think she's able to do it now, but it was a fantastic experience. She would give me a table at the back of the room, and I could talk to people about their various cancers and how to get well and how to prevent cancer naturally. I don't recommend the medical treatment because it's too harsh and it's too, I'm not sure your survival rates are correct because I know a lot of people have died after the medical treatment.
Yeah, they aren't mine. They were from the medical articles online. They are not mine. So go ahead. Just wanted to clear that
up.
Yeah,
actually the medical
statistics.
Treatment is carcinogenic. And I tried to talk to people about that, but the doctors scared them into accepting all their recommendations. And then they get a recurrence. And as far as recurrence goes, it just for me means they never solved the problem in the first place.
Well, why don't you tell our audience what happened to you that made you decide, for people that don't know, because there's always new listeners, for people who don't know, and remind people who do know, who have heard your voice before, tell us what happened to you that made you want to write these books.
Well, I have some experience. I'm an artist, and in the 70s, I was working with carcinogenic materials, which I didn't know were cancer-causing, and I was doing large commissions like 4 10-foot paintings for the Bonaventure Hotel downtown, and I developed a lump in my neck. I went over to UCLA. They did a biopsy, and they said, this is right on the verge of cancer. And if you don't get rid of this lump in 1 year, we're going to operate and take it out. I had to give up the material. It was too bad because I had a big collector who said he would buy everything I did with the Roplex, which is the base for all acrylics and contains formaldehyde and ammonia. I had to give it up. I had to get well. It took me a year. But I did get rid of the lump myself, much to the doctor's shock. He was ready to cut when I went back, and he had the knife in his hand almost, and he could not believe that I got rid of that lump myself. So I did it with a very simple health program. I did carrot juice, and my dad bought me a juicer. And I ran on the beach. Well, I couldn't run. I had an architect friend, and we would walk and then gradually increase the speed. But I was very weak, and I was losing weight rapidly. Borderline cancer turned out to be just like cancer. I turned yellow-green. I lost all this weight. Energy left me. And I felt really like I was at death's door. The other thing I did was visualization. I would turn on loud rock music. I would visualize little white men going down with a rope, tying it around my lump, and I would pull it out to the beat of the music, seeing the lump coming out. And I did this twice a day. So just those three things. And a lot of patience because I was quite ill. I was quite at death's door. And I can tell you, Rose, life is a gamble. And I've cheated death so many times that they kicked me out of the casino.
Well, I just admire you because I believe in a higher power. I believe in miracles. I believe in being proactive, and I believe in self-help, and I believe in not taking the doom and gloom from the first doctor and his word for it. as well, because haven't there been quite a few women who were misdiagnosed since the 80s, 70s, 80s, and so forth, who they later found out they were not cancer, but these little white spots that show up on the x-rays? Is, I recall reading a story about that, and the doctors would say, oh, you have breast cancer, and they were benign. They were not cancerous, which they later found out after they had their breasts removed. So what about those horror stories? Do you know any, any people who
I haven't finished the first question. After I learned about cancer and how to heal my lump in my neck, I again got breast and uterine cancer in December 1990. It was diagnosed by my doctor, and he wanted me to see a surgeon, and I said no, and he called me every single day, see a surgeon, and I practically hung up on him, and finally he said, well, come back in 2 months. And so I compiled a very rigorous health program. It wasn't just the three things that I did when I supposedly had borderline cancer. It was quite rigorous. It's called MOTEP, Marathon Olympic Tumor Eradication and Prevention Program, and it's 20 points. And I swam a mile 5 days a week and did visualization while I was swimming, picturing a shark eating my cancer and little white particles flowing out in the water. In the sauna, I visualized my tumor as butter and melting, and on like that. I also went into group therapy, which was really important because cancer has an emotional basis, and usually you can pinpoint it. I found interviewing people who call me, I say, when did you get your cancer? And they can usually tell me about a couple years ago. They had a big stress. Usually it's an emotional stress. The big stresses are, number one, widow. Number two, divorce. Number three, separation. And so, you know, at the top of the list are the big emotional stresses. I did have that stress. I had a boyfriend I was crazy about, and he ran off and married his ex-girlfriend, and so I got very depressed about that. And instead of exercising, I would go to the gym and sit in a hot tub and feel sorry for myself. And I overate meat in order to try to compensate for my loss. And I gave myself cancer. Basically, you do it to yourself. And so you have to reverse that. You have to do a good detox with whole grains. Barley is especially good at cleaning yourself out. Rice and other quinoa. Other whole grains and carrot juice and other juices, freshly made is the best. I have a Vitamix now that I use to make smoothies every day. And then you need to do visualization. You need to give the body a lot of rest and sleep. You will get well. It takes time. It takes patience. But you can find my MOTEP program in my book, Keep Your Breath, and also in Survive Cancer. Keep Your Breath tells how I did it, and then Survive Cancer tells how other people got well, some after medical treatment failure.
Well, it's interesting to me that you use visualization and you mentioned stress, because I was a licensed esthetician for 25 years and also certified as an aromatherapist and reflexologist. And what I found was that people, hello? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh. What I found is that people with a lot of stress came into my business and my spa, and they didn't know they were carrying around that much stress. And I always believe stress caused cancer as well. And some people would sit up when I completed the treatments, and tears would come out of their eyes because they didn't know they were carrying around that stress. I think we get conditioned to so much stress, what do you think, that we don't notice it, and then stress, of course, causes health issues. And also, I agree with the widow, the divorce, and I think you mentioned one other, but also finances, too, and children who are out of control with today's world of so many issues, pressures on the children. I think all of these factors are causing a lot of stress today, and it seems to me that the numbers may have even increased due to the stress in our society. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I heard on the news that $17 trillion in consumer debt has hit an all-time record. And also on the news last night, it was the average vehicle on the road is now 12 years old because the new vehicles cost in the neighborhood on average of $48,000. And so we're
all the way up to $100,000 or more.
Yes, and people are in debt. People can't afford that new car. And so they try to keep their old one in repair, and it gets harder and harder the older the vehicle gets. And the same with us. The older we get, the harder it is to carry all this stress. But I think the economy is not in good shape. The government is in trouble. I hear that every night also, that they have to keep raising the debt ceiling. It's in trillions of dollars, and if they don't raise it again, Social Security is going to go down the drain. I mean, it's just like on and on. The stress level is huge.
But I think also the stress of the open borders with 35 million plus still pouring in, and they're using our taxes to support all these unidentified people who illegally came into our nation, and giving them all the benefits while Americans are coming last and destroying the middle class. I mean, there's only so much money that a person can earn or two people can earn per family, and the skyrocketing costs for housing, electricity, gas,
food,
health care, and so forth, and food is outrageous. And so, you know, that is putting a lot of pressure and stress on the middle class who pay the bulk of the entire nation's expenses. And there's no way that we can pay that national debt back in the trillions because the interest rate is so high that we can't even keep up with the interest rate. Personally, Susan, I think the United States government should file bankruptcy and start all over again, or chapter 11.
Well, I think the government is corrupt with the COVID Fauci gain of function research.
Oh, we don't
want to
go there.
And,
we don't
want to go there.
Getting
that out, getting the COVID-19 infection
out.
Mention
COVID. And Susan, we can't mention that on the air anymore because we get cut off.
We'll go back to cancer, but I think...
back to cancer.
I think the stress level is huge and getting worse right now. Even if you haven't lost your spouse or you got a divorce or you separated, I think the stress level from the financial department is showing up. As skyrocketing with the $17 trillion credit card debt that this nation has right now.
Yes, and so it seems to me, though, Susan, what do you think about the fact that we donate billions and billions of dollars to cancer research every single year forever? It's been happening. And how come there's never a cure for cancer? There's just chemotherapy or removing your breath or whatever else happens behind those medical doors.
Well, one reason I nixed the medical treatment for breast cancer, for my breast cancer and uterine cancer, is my friend Kimberly, who was 34 years old and found a lump in her breast. She had her breast removed, and the cancer grew back. Guess where it grew back?
I don't know.
Right in the same spot in her chest wall. So that's when I woke up to the Santa Claus notion that removing your breast removes the disease. It's not true, and I saw it with my own eyes, that the disease cannot be cut out of the body. And I woke up because I always thought my aunt had a mastectomy. I always thought if I get breast cancer, I will have to have a mastectomy. But when I saw Kimberly's cancer grow back in the same spot in her chest wall, I realized that cutting off the breast is not the answer.
Well, what about chemotherapy? What do you think about chemotherapy? Because
radiation kills the cells.
So that's what I never understood about chemotherapy, because it actually kills your cells. And that's why when you go to the dentist or the doctor and they radiate you, they walk out of the room before they push the button, because they don't want to be radiated. And they cover up all your healthy parts of your body and radiate those certain parts that are injured. What do you think about that? I'm curious.
Well, it's very hard for me because I was on a panel discussion with John Goffman at UC Berkeley, and he's the expert on radiation, and he said that any amount of radiation is very damaging to the body, and so my girlfriend is going through it right now as we speak. Her first treatment is today. She has to go 3 weeks. And I tried to talk her out of it. Of course, Rose, she's so scared. And even though she read my book and even helped promote it, she's so scared of, you know, that she's going to submit to whatever they tell her to do. And actually, when you have a recurrence after breast cancer treatment, it's often because of the radiation so-called treatment that you had.
Yes, because being in the beauty industry, I went to a lot of workshops with plastic surgeons, and they said that radiation can cause cataracts, can cause aging, it can kill off your healthy cells and create more free radicals that eat up your healthy cells in your body, which you need to remain healthy. And also it can stunt the growth of little children, and it can, of course, cause cancer and death. So what I'm talking about now is everyone, including myself, who was radiated at the airport with unknown levels of radiation by non-medical professionals, hired from the streets and trained to be TSA workers and not doctors, and no liability for radiating the people, millions of people going through the airports. I still am concerned about that radiation, because I did read an article that they had an inspection at one airport. I can't recall now because it's been like 10 years ago, and that they had the radiation level so high that it was really bad. And so you wonder why they allowed the airports and the government to radiate the American people, including children. And it's very disturbing to me because there is no way to know how many people got cancer at the airports from those radiation full body machines.
Yeah, I always tell them I had cancer and I'm not going to go through that machine. And if they want to do a pat down, that's an option that you can go for. It's a little embarrassing because they do put you in a corner and start feeling your body all over. But I'd rather have that embarrassment than subject myself. And I recommend people who are going on trips at the airport to opt for pat-downs rather than go through the machine.
I agree with that. I agree. And but, you know, what my point was, like, to me, that's a depopulation program. That's just my opinion. When you're full-body radiating people with no liability to the government and no short- and long-term studies on what happened to those people who may have gotten cancer and early deaths because of that radiation at the airport. I find that really disturbing, even to this day. But anyway, back to your books, Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer. Do you think that... Do you have, like, people who contact you and tell you that they actually used your methods and that they actually worked for them? Get
yes.
Testimonials.
I have worked with people to get them well and to help them, and they do get well if they're willing to do the work. First of all, I ask them, do you want to live? And this is the crucial question. And I can usually hear by the enthusiasm in their voice or lack of thereof whether they're going to make it or not. Because it turns out cancer is like a slow suicide when it's a big emotional problem. You lose your zest for living, for getting up in the morning with enthusiasm and starting your day. Some verve is lost, and you've got to reclaim it, because if you don't reclaim it, your life might be lost.
That's interesting. So how do people, though, who find out that they have cancer, any part of their body, what happens to their, like yourself, when you were told? What do you feel at that moment? Do you feel like your life's over? Do you feel like doom and gloom? Do you go into deep depression? What happens at that moment?
Well, it depends on your personality. For me, it was like, whoa, you've gone downhill, Susan, and unless you bring yourself back to good health, you're going to die. So that's my attitude. I roll up my sleeves. I made a health program, and I got to work. And it took me 6 months, 9 months, actually, to get well. But I did it, and it's been 30 years, more than 30 years. But... If you just say, I agree, my life's over, I give up, I'm going to die, that's probably what's going to happen. So my book, Survive Cancer, is about people who got diagnosed and what their attitude was, and some did the medical treatment and didn't work, and so they rolled up their sleeves and figured it out for themselves. And there was one woman who I really got to meet, and I really enjoyed meeting her. And she was in a plane crash, and the plane hit the ground so hard that her seatbelt didn't work, and she hit her head on the ceiling of the airplane. She survived, but she grew a tumor where her head hit the plane. And she decided to go on a rigorous health program. She was overweight. She lost the weight. Her program actually is quite like mine. She decided she was going to get rid of her hate list as far as other people. She did a lot of mental work on herself. She changed her diet and did a lot of juicing, and she got well, and the tumor went away. So the body creates a tumor for a reason. Cutting it out is not going to solve that problem. So you've got to solve it, and you got to figure out what that problem is, whether it's emotional loss, stress from finances, whatever that is. You got to figure out what the problem is, and you got to reverse it, because, as I said, cancer cannot be cut out of the body. It cannot be radiated out of the body, and it can't be poisoned with chemotherapy out of the body either. And all those methods don't work, and they lead to what's called a recurrence, which is just the idea that you had cancer and now you got it again, but the fact is you never solved the problem, and it's the same cancer maybe growing in a different spot or the same spot.
No, actually you have to kill the enemy that's in the body that caused it, the root, right? You have to kill
that
off.
You have to get to the root. You have to get to the causes, and I know it's a lot of work, but I don't feel sorry for you if you have to do this work, because it's very enjoyable. I enjoy swimming. I did it this morning for 40 minutes. I enjoy juicing. I enjoy cooking natural organic produce and eating a natural diet with a lot less fat and a lot less sugar and a lot less bad ingredients. I really enjoy taking care of myself, because I know if I slip up, it's going to show up in my body real quick, and then I'm going to suffer. And of course, I have slipped. I'm only human. And then I have to rebuild, and I have to figure out what the problem was. And I have to say, Susan, you're not ready to die yet. And if you want to live, you're going to have to reverse all these problems and get hold of yourself and get on a health program.
Susan, I have a couple more questions for you. Can you stay with me until after the important message?
Yes.
Well, perfect. Thank you.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Yes, it's available at Amazon.com. And one critic said that it is well-crafted, and that the readers will end up being very concerned about humanity. So Rose Colombo says that this isn't just a book, and literary agents have said the same thing. It is a message for the world on our humanity and survival, and we need to pay attention to what is happening and what we're told to do or not do to our own bodies, what to eat, what to ingest, or what to have jabbed into our bodies. We must stand up, and speak out. But, of course, it's a little difficult today because we can't do it on the Internet or we get blocked. So for those who know what we're talking about, it is a worldwide message by Rose M. Colombo, just like her book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, published in 2010, self-help for people who knew very little about the legal system or nothing, because it remains a mystery. Well, it's been updated, and it will be coming out, version 2, in October, around October, the fall of 2023. You won't want to miss that, because version 1 went global, and it was an award winner and 5-star review, just like Obamasaurus. So if you like to read, read books that you're going to get self-help from. And we're going to return to the world of authors and experts in just a moment.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and the piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because we're going to re-enter into the world of authors and experts with Susan Moss. And she is a best-selling author. She wrote the book. She has several books on online. Keep Your Breath and Survive Cancer and COVID-19, A Natural Approach, as well as The Accident Stager, which has been sought after for a potential movie, and much more. She's also an artist. So, Susan, I wanted to ask you about the fact that food, you're talking about organic food. Well, organic food to me was just natural food that we ate without pesticides while growing up. Today they spray them with pesticides, and so now it's the natural foods without pesticides, you pay 2 or 3 times more. It's called organic. So another marketing ploy. So with the pesticides, and they know Roundup causes cancer because it's been all over the news, and also with the preservatives and additives in the foods and the hormones and whatever else they're adding in the milk and the dairy products, so forth. Many of those are carcinogenic, and people, don't know that. And then the corporations say, well, there's such a minute amount, it can't cause cancer, like the fake sugars and so forth, substitute sugars. So what do you think about how the government and Wall Street spins all of that, even though these are chemicals that they're putting into the food or pesticide?
Yes, we have to be careful what we put in our mouth and what we shop for. I try to eat as much organic as I can afford to buy. I go to a farmer's market and try to select a locally grown food. You can't always do it, but as much as you can. And I grew up growing. My father had a garden, and he had fruit trees lining the backyard. And so I grew up with a good foundation of homegrown fresh fruits and vegetables, and I think that contributed to my overall health and being able to recover from cancer when I had both borderline cancer and then when I had breast and uterine cancer. And I'm not getting cancer anymore because I know how to prevent it now.
Yes, and I think also, like, in your books, do you talk about, like, the nitrates they put into the meat, trans fat, sodium nitrate, artificial food coloring, fructose syrup, aspartame, and BHA, BHD, all of that, that they put into the foods to preserve them, that can allegedly cause cancer or we should avoid?
Yes, I do my own baking. I make my own bread. I make corn and a cornbread with chia seeds. And I make a dessert bread with coconut and blueberries and bananas and walnuts. And so I'm pretty careful about what I put in my mouth. And I think nitrates in luncheon meats are very carcinogenic, in hot dogs. Unfortunately, people love these kinds of foods, but they do not contribute to health. In fact, they are carcinogenic, and so we need to rely on fresh organic produce and as much as we can.
Yeah, you mentioned hot dogs. Yeah, I read that ham and bacon and salami and frankfurters were in the group one known to cause cancer. I guess if, I don't know how much you have to eat of it in order for it to cause cancer. Stomach cancer, it says, cancercouncil.com. That's where I got my information. And so, so I think that's pretty scary because we don't, we're not taught any of that in school or college or university, unless maybe if you're studying the medical profession or nutrition. But I don't think most people are aware of what we are eating and ingesting into our body. Do you?
Yeah, well, I went to the local supermarket and just to do some research, and there's something, corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup. Mm-hmm. They used to sweeten a lot of products, and that robs you of vitamin D, which you really need. And it, I did some research, and I found it in almost every aisle. High fructose, avoid that. High fructose corn syrup is in soft drinks. It's in ketchup. It's in pudding mix, cake mix. Just a lot of the aisles have that. I don't go to that market to buy things in the aisles. I'll buy produce there. It's a Mexican market, and it's really good produce. And I'll buy things like matches and toothbrushes and things like that. But as far as packaged food, packaged cookies, packaged bottled ketchup, you really have to be careful because these foods have this horrible high fructose corn syrup, which was invented by a tobacco industry to sweeten cigarettes, and it's really bad for you. It causes you to lose your vitamin D, which you badly need.
Well, yeah, they, and you know, like cigarettes diminish your vitamins that you, your body needs every single day to remain healthy. And so one of the top 10 causes of cancer I read is genetics and physical and chemicals and your lifestyle and then hormones. I didn't know that hormones can cause cancer, and so I was kind of surprised
that could be a serious problem if you have hormonal problems, I guess, and infection and inflammation you have to watch for. And it also lists radiation. So
yeah,
radiation
Hormones, you're going to produce more estrogen when you're overweight because fat cells produce estrogen. So I think being overweight or obese is a high risk for cancer. So that's one of the risk factors. Smoking, of course, because you're inhaling damaging products that are going to destroy the cilia, which are little hairs on your lungs that facilitate the air going down. And so when you're smoking, those hairs are destroyed, the cilia, and so that now you can't breathe properly. You're huffing and puffing to get that air in because you don't have the equipment anymore to breathe properly. Maybe that will stop you from smoking when I tell you that right now. Drinking, of course, alcohol is very bad for more than one drink a week. Or I don't know. I don't like alcohol myself, but if you're drinking a lot, you're certainly depressing your immune system. So we've got We've got three big risk factors there, right there: smoking, drinking, and being overweight.
And then the drugs, the prescription drugs plus illicit drugs, are an issue.
Yeah, I listen to the news at night. I like David Muir. So every 15 minutes or 10 minutes, he's interrupted by some drug commercial that shows people having a good time. But if you listen to it, one of the side effects is death.
Yeah, that always amazed me that the prescription drugs were like, you know, if you have a headache, take this prescription drug. And then they list all these, you know, it could cause kidney problems, liver problems, this problem, that problem, and death. You're like, okay, I had a headache, and I'm going to take all these risks to get rid of my
headache.
That's
kind of ridiculous,
I mean,
isn't it?
It's so insane.
Yeah, I wish they would do that. I guess the pharmaceutical companies control the news, and it's too bad because if people didn't believe that swallowing a pill would solve their problem, then the pharmaceutical companies would go out of business. But people want an easy way. They don't want to. I mean, one woman read my book and said it's too much work. If you have that idea that it's too much work and you just want to lie there, you see, the medical industry for cancer thrives because people do not want to do the work. They would rather lay there and get cut up. They lay there and get radiated. They sit in a comfortable chair and get poisoned by chemotherapy. And that is easier. Rose, it's just easier to do the medical treatment and think that's going to work rather than my program, which is a lot of work, but really does solve the problem because you're looking at your life and you're changing your life and you're improving your health and your life. And
That is so true, Susan.
I'm sorry.
No,
my program
I'm
so
happy
much work.
You said that because you know, people don't want to do the work. That's so important. They just want to pop a pill so their pain's gone. But then, like, I went to my doctor because I had I just wanted to tell you this really. This was like a couple years ago. I had a wisdom tooth or a molar back there that was, excruciating pain that never came out. And so I couldn't even think It was so painful. So I went to the doctor because I couldn't get, oh, it was during the CV. We know what that is. You know, where it was hard to even get to go to your dentist because you had to have, you had to be seriously ill to go see your doctor or your dentist. Well, it was pretty serious because I couldn't even think. So I get to my doctor, and then her assistant goes, okay, the doctor suggested this. I don't take prescriptions, thank God. And I'm like you, let's do the natural thing first. And I rarely even take an aspirin. I don't trust any of them. So anyway, I get there, and she says, oh, the doctor gave me this prescription to give you because you have healthy kidneys, so you should be fine. And that's all she had to say to me was, you have healthy kidneys. So I'm like, okay,
really?
So if I take this pill, I'm not going to have healthy kidneys? I don't think so. So I suffered until Monday when I got into the dentist, and finally. But, yeah, that's exactly what she said, and that was the key to me, like, don't take it. I mean, that was me, the message.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, the medical is easier. I got to admit, if you get cancer, it's much easier just to go along with what the doctor says and do the surgery, because you don't have to do anything, really. Just lie there, and you'll be knocked out, so you won't feel your breast cut off. You won't feel anything until you wake up and realize what happened, and then the pain will start. You don't have to think or do anything to get radiated, but you don't know maybe that it's destroying and killing you. You don't have to do anything, sit in a chair and let the poison chemotherapy. It's a comfortable chair, so you don't even have to think about it. But you will realize it later when your hair falls out and when your stomach starts regurgitating everything that you eat. And you'll start knowing that this is not the root. That if you do the work yourself, you're going to get well because the body wants to get well. And the body wants you to take care of yourself.
Well, Susan, I am so proud of you for writing these books. Seriously, I am, because Keep Your Breath, Survive Cancer, and the wonderful wealth of information that those who do the work and they want to live, I think it's a desire to live as well, whether you're paralyzed and you want to walk or whatever it is. I think believing in a higher power, believing in yourself, believing that you can be proactive, you can follow the information of a testimonial that proved to be successful and heal your body and your mind and get plenty of rest, I think that I think it's a miraculous way to go, and it is so helpful to those who want to survive and to want to live longer and are willing to do the work so that they can live longer. So I don't think when you're looking at life versus death, survival versus death, that it's going to be it's going to be a lot of work for a person who let's say like a person who just, you know, does want to take that pill, just wants to go get the chemotherapy and that's it. But for the people that want to live for themselves and their family and for their friends and to enjoy this beautiful world we live in, I think it's fantastic that you wrote these books, because food, natural food, and what we ingest into our bodies is going to make all the difference in the world, and you're proving that with your testimony and also with your books.
So God bless you, and I hope you keep up the good work and continue to share your information with those who want to listen and want to know and want to do the work, because nothing comes easy, right, in life, unless
yes,
you do the work.
And my website is SusanHMoss.com if you want to see my art and you want to see my books. SusanHMoss.com.
That's fantastic. Susan H. Moss, M-O-S-S. And Susan Moss, you're a miracle.
Thank you. The body's
I'm glad
a
you did the work, shared the work. And thank you so much for being on our show. We'll have you back again. And
love that.
You know, yeah. So keep up the good work, Susan. And I hope everyone
thank
goes
you.
To your website and gets your book.
You too. Good
and
health
we'll
to you.
Thank you. And you too. Bye-bye, Susan.
Bye.
Susan Moss, Susan H. Moss has left the building. And again, I want you to get her books. So you can not only, if you don't have cancer, you can also learn before anything hopefully doesn't happen, but just in case something does happen or your family or friends need this information. So you will be ahead of the game if you purchase Survive Cancer and Keep Your Breath. And those are so important because it is a matter of life. And it depends on the individual and how much life, living life is embraced by each individual person. And there is a higher power. And when you ask God for help, and you are helping yourself and you have information to help yourself, then you can survive cancer, as the book says, and you can also save your breath. And so on that note, I just want to thank you so much. We'll have another fantastic guest next Wednesday. And I want to remind you that I have a new channel on YouTube. And you can listen to these podcasts on YouTube. It's a new channel. And you can scroll on down and favorite author, expert, and topic. And they are just filled with a world of wealth of information and human interest. And that's what we're all about, is saving humanity. So don't forget to get a copy of Obamasaurus, because I wrote it for you, the world, and it is a message about our humanity told in a political satire with humorous pictures, an adventure story, and the message at the end.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.